May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Isn't the church just beautiful? And this is one of the wonderful times of the year. And we're finally in our purple, our royal colors. And it is just a kind of a joyous time of year. I'm so glad to see everyone here today. And hopefully you'll walk away with a deeper understanding of what this season means, Advent. On the first Sunday in Advent, we heard of a parade as Jesus entered into Jerusalem last week. He entered the holy city on a beast of burden. He entered into the city of David as a humble prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. We saw him as an impoverished, unassuming, and powerless man, modestly dressed in sackcloth and sandals. Those who came to the parade expecting a victorious Messiah brought high expectations to pay homage to the one who they thought would save them. How ironic, on this second Sunday in Advent, we witnessed the true Messiah. Here, centuries later, we are told of the parade that will end all parades. And just this week, we had a parade Thursday in Dillon, Friday in Latta, and Saturday in Lakeview. So we got all our Christmas parades out of the way. It will be the highlight of all ages when that parade comes. It will also be the zenith of all time. Here we are told how the Messiah, the Son of God, the Prophet of Nazareth, the true King, arrives to claim his destiny, his kingdom, and his people. Here we are told that there will be no red carpet, no palms, or straw to welcome him, for creation itself will usher in the Savior of mankind. The sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, and the waves, and the earth itself will be shaken when the clouds escort Jesus onto his throne at the stage of righteousness. The season of Advent happens once a year, and if you're like me, I need a refresher course from time to time. I would rather not assume that you know, for everyone is on a learning curve, especially children. This does not mean that we are smarter than they are. It only means that we have had more time to experience all that the church has to offer. Therefore, indulge me for a few moments as I recite some other facts I may not have mentioned in last week's sermon. Like the calendar year, which begins in January, the church calendar begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. This day marks the beginning of the year for us. Advent is a four-week season of penance and fasting, much like the season of Lent, which occurs 4 weeks before Easter. Advent and Lent are the two seasons that we cleanse and purify ourselves before the great celebration days of Christmas and Easter. We do this by Christ's example, when he went into the temple and, in quote, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers, and the seat of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Our bodies are the temple of God, and temple means it is a house of prayer. This is another example that we should be in constant connection with God, meditating on him in our life's journey. In Latin, Adventus means cometh. In Greek, parousia means arrival. And as for the three colors of the candles, the three purple candles represent royalty in reference to Christ the King. The one rose candle, or pink candle, represents rejoice, as in the coming of the King. And the one white candle represents purity, as in Christ Jesus himself. Now we turn our attention to this lesson in the second Sunday in Advent, which picks up on last week's sermon where we read of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. We learned that the King of Kings rolled a colt into the city of David to fulfill the prophecy found in Zechariah 9:9, where we read, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We learn that unlike ancient kings, emperors, and conquerors who rode on powerful chariots and mighty horses in their earthly glory, Jesus rode on the lowly of animals, a beast of burden. This is in complete contrast to what we are told will be his final entrance into Jerusalem when he returns to reclaim his kingdom on earth. His last earthly entrance was as low as possible, and his final entrance will be at the pinnacle of all pinnacles, from heaven, reflecting his kingly station. As we read in St. Luke 21, "For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. No earthly emperor, no Napoleon, no Caesar, nor president, nor king can match this regal entrance." This passage coincides with St. Matthew 24, which reads, "Immediately after the tribulation of these days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The New Testament passage collaborates an Old Testament passage in Daniel chapter 7, which reads, "I continued to observe the vision in the night, and behold, one like the Son of Man was coming with the clouds of heaven, until he came to the Ancient of Days and approached him. Then dominion, honor, and the kingdom were given him, and all his peoples, tribes, and languages serve him. His authority, like his word, is an everlasting authority, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. This is our promise." Today, we are brought closer to the miracle of Christ's birth. In verse 30, we read, "When they were already budding, you see and know for yourselves that the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." This verse is compared to the nativity story in St. Luke 2, where we read, "Now there were the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." So what were they doing besides tending sheep and getting rest? They were keeping watch, as we are to keep watch. In verse 25 we read, "And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars." And there in verse 28 we read, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Now in the latter days, before Christ comes, bear in mind that there will be many prophets. There will be many claiming to be the Messiah. And we will see visually, because yesterday Cynthia and I had our pictures taken in our living room by a professional photographer, Mr. Henry from Latta, Ben Henry. And he was telling me that how digitally they can take pictures, and for instance, he could lighten my teeth and make them look whiter. He could take the red out of my eyes if he wanted to. He could change the color of the carpet, the color of the walls. He could change everything in that picture digitally. We have the power now to do all these things. What I'm saying to you this is this: beware and be on watch, because there will be many false prophets to come before us. And as your shepherd, I'm encouraging you to be mindful that when we see Christ come, he will be coming in the heavens. You will not see his toe touching earth on any mountain anywhere. So be real careful what you see and what you believe. So what is our redemption, or rather, who is our redemption? Our redemption is Jesus Christ. He is given to us as a gift from God to take away the sins of the world. He returns again to us to reclaim us for God's glory. Does this apply to everyone? Yes, they do, if Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior. Regrettably, If they have not accepted Jesus as Lord, their sins will not be forgiven. They will be held accountable for all their sins on that day of judgment and sentenced to eternity in purgatory. Believers will not be held accountable for their sins, our sins, on that dreadful day, because Christ Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. Believers will be judged according to our acts of mercy, grace, kindness, and compassion to others in this world. And the parable of the 10 virgins in St. Matthew 25, one of my favorite parables, it goes like this. I'm going to shorten it. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil in them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And I would add, watch also that you never hear these words, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." The 5 unprepared virgins fell into the category in St. Matthew where we read, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that they come on you unexpectedly. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Know these things so that you will not become afraid and your hearts fail you. Maintain vigilance and be watchful, because we need to be prepared for the Master's return. Be mindful is another way to be watchful, so that our lamps are full, and that is pleasing to God. If we are not mindful, if we do not stay connected to God, if we're not watchful, then our attention will go elsewhere and we may fall into the temptations of this world. We are to live in this world, but not be a part of it. Christ tells us in St. John 17, where we read, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." We are to live our lives with joy and gladness and attain and seek righteousness. Christ tells us that we are the salt of the earth. We give the world its flavor. We have what the world is searching for. We are beacons of hope from the Christ that shines through us. Jesus tells us again in John 12, "But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And referring back to that previous verse I just read about the bridegroom cometh, symbolic of Jesus Christ, the church is the bride, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. So we want to prepare ourselves to be the kind of bridegroom, the purified, sanctified, redeemed bride of Christ. We want in this season of Advent to prepare ourselves in body, mind, and spirit to be holy and acceptable on Christ and receive the recognition of his birth 2,000 years ago. In conclusion, let us return to the prophet Zechariah, who wrote in chapter 8, "Thus saith the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a faithful city. Old men and old women, shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. And I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in faithfulness and in righteousness. Then we will have our lamps filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And with this Jesus says, it is my promise to you that my word shall never pass away. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.